Good morning. This morning's scripture reading is going to come from Romans 6:17. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that former doctrine that which you were delivered.
It is a blessing and an honor to be amongst the people of God this morning as we are here to worship God in spirit and in truth. Most definitely, I'm thankful to the God of heaven who allows us to worship him, who allows us to bless his high and holy name, and to make an impression upon us as his people. All month, we have been talking about discarding distractions through thankfulness, and we want to finalize our thoughts under this particular theme of the month. Dealing with, has God impressed you? And so if you are visiting with us, you see the QR code on the screen there. You can hold your electronic device up to that, and you will get the notes that we'll be going by on this morning. We do want to say from the onset that when we consider the Word of God and the power of it, when it is studied correctly and understood, then it would make an impression upon us like none other. Many things and people seem to make impressions upon us. And when we consider that, we have to ask ourselves, are we being impressed the right way? Is the right impression being made upon us as the people of God? When we consider the correct impression is needed in order to have the correct stamping or imprint. You look at the screen, and I appreciate Brother Ryan as he comes up with some of the best pictures and illustrations that I believe that we have. And when we think about this, friends, we know that the mold is very important as it relates to how the imprint is going to look. But why? Because we want the same product. We want the same outcome, if you will. And one thing about an impress, if the die is right and the press is working properly and the material that's being impressed is correct, then we know that it should come out looking the same for mass production's sake. This past week, my wife and I was privileged to go and visit some very dear friends, good brethren, loved ones in the state of Michigan. And their son, Brother Tom, is one that works with presses. As a matter of fact, he gave me some pictures that I wanted to use on this morning. And these are massive presses worth millions of dollars that he is overseeing. And the more I thought about that, I said, send me those photos. I want to use those because it's important that we see when we think about presses. Of course, we may have small presses maybe in our shop, or maybe we've seen small presses, but these are for mass production, millions and millions of dollars. And when these things don't operate correctly, it stops production. And the more that I thought about that, I thought about this one right here and how it has the ability to be fed, and the material is right there waiting for that particular process to take its course. And so when we think about presses such as that one there, it's huge, it's almost the size of this building here, friends. We know for a fact that when companies spend money, they're spending a massive amount of money to make sure that their product come out the right way. Well, if you go to your notes, I want you to consider what a press is. What a press is. A metal working machine. A press is a metal working machine used primarily to cut, to punch, or to form metal. Using tools such as dies attached to the slide or the ram or the bed. Now, of course, we're given some material ideas now, some physical things to consider. So when we get to the spiritual things, hopefully it'll make a little bit of sense. And hopefully I'll do some type of justice to this particular subject. But what are presses used for? Presses are used to convert flat metal sheets into specific shapes. It is a complex process that can include a number of metal forming techniques, such as blanking, punching, bending, and piercing, just to name a few. And so if I want to create something, make something, and make a mass production of it, I gotta have some type of mold, if you will. I have to have a press that's going to be able to have enough strength, enough power to compress it, and to be able to stamp it. Can presses be used incorrectly? The answer is absolutely yes. If the material is not set in the cast properly, it can damage the tooling die, and the process would most likely have to begin again. Also, when we consider if the specs are not proper and precise, then the product will be wrong and the customer cannot use them. As a matter of fact, it should never get to the customer. We'll talk more about that. Now, if the die is malfunctioning too much, this can damage the press itself, and this can be very expensive and the operator deemed very irresponsible. What process is used to inspect the mold? Consider. Parts inspectors are employed to make sure the product is precise. Not close, friends, but precise. They are responsible to see what the issue is, if there is one, if the product is defective or not. Maybe the data was entered in incorrectly. Perhaps the transfer system didn't work correctly, causing the edges to be cut off prematurely or not at all. This process is important to ensure a good product. So the entire process must be overseen to ensure that the product is made correctly, properly, and efficiently. You think about the press. It's so important that the press is operating correctly, that the die is inserted properly, and that the material goes through the way that it's supposed to, and that if it is needed to be transferred, that it transfers the right way. Well, what is God's impress? When we consider the passage that was read in our hearing, I want you to turn again to Romans chapter 6 before we go too deep into this particular message. And I want us to focus in on a particular word. Here we've seen Paul as he is talking to the church at Rome, and he gives them instruction. There was this battle, if you will, if I can say it that way, between the Jews and the law of Christ. Not the Jews and the Gentiles. That would be the book of Galatians. But the Jews and the law of Christ. See, they did not want to submit themselves to God's law, which would mean that they would have to submit themselves to Christ himself. They wasn't ready for that. As a matter of fact, they wanted to remain under the law of Moses. They thought that righteousness was adhered to as it relates to the law of Moses, but that was not the case. As a matter of fact, it would be the law of Moses that would bring them to Christ. The law of Moses was a tutor, Brother Royce, to bring them to the Christ. And once the Christ came, the law of Moses was no longer needed. And we find that in Romans 7, verse 3 through 4. But here in Romans 6 and verse number 17, here we find that the Bible demonstrates to us, but God be thanked that though you were, past tense, slaves of sin, yet you have obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. The word form is the Greek word tupos. We'll have more to say about that here in a few minutes. But that's the idea that we're actually working with, because if we're going to discard distractions, if we're going to discard those things that are not necessary in our lives, friends, there has to be a mold. There has to be a press. There has to be a die, if you will. And it is designed to help us. So what is God's impress as we continue some thoughts under our introduction? God's impress is the Holy Spirit. Turn your Bibles to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. In 2 Corinthians chapter 3, Paul is talking to the church here at Corinth. If you don't remember, the church at Corinth was established in Acts chapter 18 with the house of Crispus and Gaius, if you will. And they obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ, 1 Corinthians 15:1-8, by being baptized, immersed into Christ. This is how one gets into Christ, Galatians 3:26-27. However, Paul, as he is writing this third letter, if you will, and we know it is according to 2 Corinthians 12:13, if you will, but he's writing this letter to them, and he says something that's very interesting and worthy of us paying attention to. In verse number 2 and 3, he says, "You are our epistle written in our hearts, known and read by all men. Clearly, you are an epistle of Christ, ministered by us, written not with," notice this, "not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone," referring back to that Old Testament system when God with his own finger wrote on the tablets of stone when Moses came up on Mount Horeb to receive the law from him, but on tablets of flesh. Notice the figure of speech that Paul used by inspiration of the Holy Spirit, that is of the heart. This is the focal point that Paul is actually demonstrating to the church at Corinth. It's very, very important for us to understand this. Why? Because God is using the Holy Spirit in order to impress upon the minds of the people what is necessary to be molded properly. But what is God's tooling die? God's tooling die is the Word of God. Brethren, I need us to keep that in mind. Because when we consider the die, it's so important that we understand the press. And it's important for us to understand the die. And we must understand the material that is being used. So God's impress is the Holy Spirit. God's tooling die is the Word of God, which is the form of teaching, his form of teaching rather. God's material that he impresses is the hearts of men, tablets of flesh, not tablets of stone. God's finished product. Notice Ephesians 1:13. God's finished product is the seal of the Spirit. Friends, about to make this as shallow as possible. And the reason why is because of false teaching, don't understand what the seal of the Spirit is. They're looking at something that is miraculous. At one time it was. However, the miraculous was always designed, Mark 16:20, to confirm the Word of God. Okay? So in Ephesians 1:13, as we continue our introductory thought process, "In him you also trusted after you heard the word of truth, the gospel of your salvation, in whom also having believed you were sealed with the Holy Spirit of promise." Anytime you think of a seal, think of something external. You think of Tylenol and you think of what is the seal protecting. It's protecting the Tylenol that's on the inside of the bottle. The seal can be seen. When we stop and we consider that, friends, we want to make sure that we understand that God, when he seals us, it ought to be seen. 2 Timothy 2:19. "What is the seal of the Spirit?" God makes this very plain for us. If you leave it to the denominational world, they're talking about the performing of miracles. But that's not God's mentality after the miraculous has ceased. 1 Corinthians 13:8-13. In 2 Timothy 2:19, notice what the Bible here communicates. "Nevertheless, the solid foundation of God stands sure, having this seal." God, what is this seal? "The Lord knows those who are his. And let everyone who names the name of Christ do what? Depart from iniquity." How do I know, Peyton, that I've been sealed by the Holy Spirit? The Word of God impresses my heart. How do I know that I've been sealed? I depart from sin. That's how I know I've been sealed. A person cannot be living in sin and say that I've been sealed by the Spirit. Why? Because the press, which is the Holy Spirit, the die, which is the Word of God, the material, which is the heart of men, and when all of that comes together perfectly, it's going to make the very same thing every single time. And that is one who departs from sin. Amen, brethren. So here's the question. has God made an impression upon us? Has God made an impression upon us? To your notes, some quick questions. Are we allowing God to make lasting cuts, punches, and markings and seals upon our hearts for our good and his glory? Are we allowing that? God does not force himself upon no one. We must allow ourselves to be molded, to be marked, to be punched and cut. Do we realize our destructive behaviors can be helped with God's influence upon our lives? There are so many destructive behaviors in our day and time, even to the point that people believe that there's nothing wrong with them now. Friends, destructive behaviors come from destructive thinking. God wants us to discard distractions and destructive behaviors, but it's going to come through thanksgiving, and that thanksgiving is the word of God, John 15, 9 and 10. Question number three, are we willing to allow God to work on us and humble ourselves under his teaching? It's a great question. Because again, if I humble myself under the mighty hand of God, he will exalt. But if I'm proudful, if I'm arrogant, if I fight God, he will resist me. Last question, do we really believe God is designed to harm us as his beautiful creation? Brethren, everything that God does, Sister Evelyn, is for our good. Every single thing. Every single word that comes forth from the mind of God, the mouth of God, is designed to help us. It's designed to encourage us. It's designed to admonish us, meaning to instruct us with warning. It's designed to keep us out of a devil's hell. It's designed to help us to have the abundant life. It's designed to help our minds, our lives, our families. It's designed to help us to be conformed to the very image of his son, Romans 8, verse 29. And no wonder Paul would say in Romans 12, verse 1 and 2, I beg you, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice. Watch this. Holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service, and be not conformed to this world. Here is how God molds us, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good, perfect will of God. And so point number one, and these are very short points because I highlighted really what I wanted to talk about, but I wanted to give you an abundance of information so you can go back and do your own study. I promise I won't keep you that long because I believe the point has been made already. But watch this, friends. Discarding destructive behaviors through God's eternal impressions. We've already discussed Romans 6, verse 17 and 18, becoming slaves of righteousness. Why? Because God desires to have the opportunity. That's the operative word right there. God desires to have the opportunity to stamp our minds. He said, I ain't gonna make you though. I found a passage in Luke chapter 20 where God, his word, talking about the Christ, going back to the Old Testament, and how he would be that stone of stumbling, that rock of offense, and anyone that gets in the way, he will grind them to powder. I'm either going to be hard and be ground to powder, or I'm going to be moldable and shaped and formed to his will. That's an excellent observation. That's a powerful point. And the last thing we want is to be hard. What is his stamping? What is God's fingerprint, if you will? It's his teaching. And so, number three, when we consider under this particular point, that form of teaching delivered us from sin is faith. That system of teaching is faith. One cannot be stamped without it. It's faith, friends. One can have the wrong impress. Look at Matthew 15, verses 8 and 9. Jesus, with his own mouth, had this to say. Matthew 15, verse 8 and 9, talking about discarding distractions through thankfulness. Has God made an impression upon us? Friends, the wrong information can make an impression upon us. Here, Jesus says, these people draw near to me with their mouth. They honor me with their lips, but their heart is far from me. And in vain they worship me, teaching as doctrines. Notice this, the commandments of men, will always leave the wrong impression. Man's thoughts, opinions will always leave the wrong impression. Friends, God wants to impress upon us on the fleshly tablets of our hearts. He wants to impress upon us his will. Maybe we're distracted. Maybe we have destructive behaviors. The only way to get rid of that, friends, is to make yourself pliable, moldable, and allow the Word of God to make an impression upon you. And as it makes an impression upon you, as that material goes through the press itself and it's laying there waiting for the press and the die to do its work upon the material, and then the die and the press cuts away that material that is no longer needed and it leaves the finished product. Friends, the Word of God does the same thing. The Word of God does the same thing. If I'm distracted, if I have destructive mentalities and behaviors, friends, the only way to deal with this is through spiritual discipline, which is letter B. And Paul would say in 1 Corinthians 9 and verse 24 through verse number 27, turn your Bibles there. In 1 Corinthians 9, verse 24 through 27, here is an apostle, one that loved Jesus Christ, one that wanted to know Christ and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his suffering. He had this to say in verse 24. He says, do you not know that those who run in a race all run, but one receives the prize? Run in such a way that you may obtain it. And everyone who competes for the prize is self-controlled, is temperate in all things. Now, they do it to obtain a perishable crown, but we for an imperishable crown. Therefore, I run thus, not with uncertainty. It's an excellent point that Paul made there. Friends, as Christians, we should not be uncertain where we're going. We should know where we're going. We should know we're on our way to heaven. But notice what he says. Thus I fight not as one who beats the air, but I discipline my body. I love the King James Version. The King James says, I buffet my body. I beat my body. My body does not run anything. Why? 2 Corinthians chapter 10, 3 through 5, I bring my thoughts into captivity. Matthew chapter 4, Jesus is being tempted by the devil on three occasions. He says, it is written. Friends, the mind has to control the body, not the other way around. 1 Peter 4, verses 1, 2, and 3. He says, I discipline my body, lest when I preach to others, I myself should be disqualified or cast away. Paul, what are you saying? That I must be able to have the mentality to rid destructive behaviors and mentalities and distractions. And the only way that it can come is through spiritual discipline. And I know it can happen. Look at 1 Corinthians 6 and verse number 9 through 11. And for time's sake, we'll just read verse number 11. You go back and you read that. And he goes through this laundry list of destructive behaviors and distractions in people's lives. But he says something in verse number 11, worthy of our imitation and consideration. In verse number 11, he says, and such were some of you. He's talking to people who at one time were these things. I was a homosexual. I was this. I was a drunkard. I was a meth head. I was a drug addict. I was a woman. I was. But now he says, you're not that now. Wow. You know what happens when the mind is molded properly, submits to the press, submits to the die, submits to the press operator? You know what happens if that material is right? It's molded to the way that God would have it to be molded, and it cuts away that which is not needed. Wow. Question. Are we submitting ourselves to the molder? Are we submitting ourselves to the one that formed the clay, Jeremiah 18? Destructive behaviors. I see why people lose their minds. I see why people are going crazy now, shooting up clubs, shooting up Walmarts, killing their family members. I see. It makes sense. The more I study, it makes sense why people do things. The more I study, I see why a wife won't submit to her husband and a husband won't love his wife. It makes more sense to me now. Why? Because they're not submitting to the press. Oh, I'm not talking about CNN and MSNBC or Fox News. I'm talking about the press of God. They're not submitting to the die. And therefore, the finished product won't look like what God would have it to look like. God is about mass production. No wonder he says, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Well, I want everyone to look like my son. It's not your job to look like Mike Bonner. It's your job to look like Jesus. He's the one that we're trying to look like. I can prove that with the Bible, the Word of God. Romans 8:29, being conformed to the image of Jesus Christ. Everyone is made in the image of God, Genesis 1:26. Everyone is made in the image of Adam, Genesis 5:3-4. But not all people are made in the image of Jesus Christ, Romans 8:29, because they have not submitted themselves to the press. They haven't submitted themselves to the press. But why would I want to be like Jesus? Because Jesus is the very image of the Father. Hebrews chapter 1, verses 1 through 3. That's why we want to submit ourselves to the image of God. Letter D, God must make an impression upon us daily. If we're going to discard distractions, if we're going to discard destructive behaviors in our mind, our lives, yea, our families, the community. And one thing I appreciate about this people here, and I say this as your brother in Christ, not your preacher nor your elder, just your brother. When I go to different places, it's just not a group like this group here. Haven't found one yet. Brother Royce, right? In all my years of preaching, never had a group of people like this in one location. Amazing. Letter D, God must make an impression upon us daily. You go back and you do your study. I'm going to read them out for those who may be listening online. Through daily reading of his divine word, Ephesians 3, verse 4. Through daily study of his written word, Acts 17 and verse number 11. Through daily application of his will, Luke 9, 23. Through daily exhortation, Hebrews 3, verse 13. Through daily dying of self, 1 Corinthians 15:31, and I love this one. Through daily opportunities to do good, James 2, verse 15. When you think of the word daily, friends, if what we're doing is not daily, then we're doing ourselves a disservice. If we have daily distractions, we need to do something daily to counter the distractions. Because we all have daily distractions. Point number two, recognizing spiritual impressions and discarding destructive behaviors. Again, it depends on the material. And we have to ask ourselves, according to Mark chapter 4, verses 9, 1 through 9, and 13 through 20, what type of material am I? We just had some classes, Fishers of Men, with Brother Barry Hatcher, and he always emphasized good soil, not good soil. What type of soil are we? What type of material is God working with when it comes to me? Friends, the soil is going to determine the success of the impression. And so the more moldable and pliable I am, the more of the details of the die will be in my life. But if I harden myself in certain areas of my life, then that impression is not going to be as detailed. And all of us must work on that. Every last one of us must work on that. Why? Because we want to bear fruit unto God. We want to bear fruit to God. Let me make this doctrinal point real quick. No, this is a lesson of encouragement, but here's a doctrinal point. In Romans chapter 7, turn your Bibles there. Romans chapter 7, verses 1 through 4, Paul brings up marriage. And he brings up divorce. And he brings up remarriage. Here's an excellent point that Paul makes by inspiration. And he brings up the law as it relates to the illustration of a woman being married. And if a woman is married and her husband that she divorces is still alive, she shall be labeled an adulteress. That's the impression right there. That's the label, if you will. But if her husband be dead, she is free to marry whom she will. And so she shall not be called, labeled an adulteress. But verse number 4 is very interesting. And when we stop and we consider, why is it important for us to be following Christ? We have people today that even believe that we're under the law of Moses. We're supposed to keep the Ten Commandments. Friends, this is a doctrinal point. Pay attention. Because we have some, even amongst the church, that believe that we're under the law of Moses. Friends, we're not under the law of Moses. We're under the law to Christ. Any religion that believes that we're under the law of Moses is not the religion of God, period. Done. Why? God didn't do all that work in order for us to keep the law of Moses. That law was to bring men to Christ. It did. But in Romans 7 and verse number 4, Paul makes this very doctrinal point. Therefore, my brethren, you also having become dead to the law. What law? Law of Moses. Not the law of Christ. Law of Moses. Through the body of Christ. In order that you may be married to another. To him who was raised from the dead. Moses is still dead. As a matter of fact, no one knows where he is buried to this day. Jesus was raised from the dead. His sepulchre is not here. Why? Because he's at the right hand of the throne of God. But take notice of this. For what purpose? That we may bear fruit unto God. God wants us to bear fruit unto him. You can't submit yourself to the law of Moses today and bear fruit to God. If you can't bear fruit to God, that means you're wrong. Brother Payton, that's an excellent point. That's a magnificent point that God makes right there. Bonner didn't make that point. None of us made that point. God made that point. We're just making the point that God made. That's so interesting that people want to keep the law of Moses. They want to mold themselves under the law of Moses. Well, I keep the Ten Commandments. You can't keep the Ten Commandments. The Ten Commandments wasn't given to us. We keep the law of Christ. Why? Because it was given to all men, not y'all men. Y'all men would be the Jews. And so here we understand that we want to bear fruit unto God. So look at the next little 4 points there. What impression is God attempting to make upon us? How about the Beatitudes? How about the fruit of the Spirit? Galatians 5, verses 22 through 23, 9 characteristics of one fruit. The Bible doesn't call it fruits of the Spirit. It calls it fruit of the Spirit. 9 characteristics in that one fruit, product, results. The Holy Spirit is wanting to make an impression upon the hearts of men. So he uses a die. He uses a tap. He uses a tupas. He uses an impression. That's the word of God. And when the heart is right, it produces the same thing. Love, joy, patience, long-suffering, meekness, temperance. He goes on. And then he says, against such there is no law. How about the Christian graces? 2 Peter chapter 1, verses 3 through 11. Add to your faith. You think about that. God wants to make an impression. When we allow God to make an impression upon us, then the distractions begin to dwindle. The destructive behaviors and mentalities begin to wane. See why people losing their mind. They're not allowing God to make an impression upon them. But then notice, we see the faithful in Hebrews 11, the marks of the Spirit are those who by faith cometh by hearing by the word of God. It's amazing. And I talk to people all the time, brethren. Yeah. I'm going to go to this church here and I'm looking forward to going there. I say, so did you study the word of God to find out what's right before you find out who's right? Oh, no. I don't even read the Bible. How do you know what's right if you don't read Ephesians 3 and verse 4, whereby when you read, you may know my knowledge in the mystery of Christ. Brethren, you can't have faith without the Word of God. There's no way to please God without faith. There's no way to please God if one doesn't allow themselves to be impressed by Him. Last point, point three. God's impression upon us leads to our impression upon others. Five quick things. The lesson is yours. Remember, if we're going to discard distractions and destructive behaviors, it's going to require some things. We have to be impressions of perseverance. I wish we had time to study Acts 14. Verses 19 through 21, where Paul was beaten up and left for dead. Brother Tobias, you remember that? And the brethren hovered around Paul. Paul gets up. And the next thing you know, he goes and preaches. Now, if that's not perseverance, if that's not hanging in there, if that's not the mind of Christ, brethren, the world needs to see us like that. They need to see that Christians, watch it now, have the ability, the capacity, and the willingness to do hard things. Not lay down and be jelly back with a yellow streak going down your back. We are the people of God. We take a beating, and that's all right. Y'all remember the old people? Y'all remember the old Timex commercials, those watches? It takes a licking and keeps on ticking. Y'all remember those? I was a kid, used to watch that. I'm like, Mom, what's a Timex? It's a watch, son. It takes a licking and keeps on ticking. You know, we need to take a licking and keep on ticking. We have to be imprints of proper worship. We must be an impact for purity in life. We must be images of Christ to a Christless society. And we must be influences for others that part from evil. Brethren, when we consider this great subject, we'll discuss more on tonight, because I was intrigued by this particular study, and I said to myself, there's more to this than what meets the eye. I hope, pray, and trust if you're available, come back tonight at 5 p.m. for Bible study, and we'll exhaust it from a biblical study perspective, and you can ask questions and be asked questions, and perhaps you will position yourself to be able to slide into the press of God, figuratively and metaphorically speaking, and allow the press and the die to mold your humble heart. Brethren, are you humble? Are you putting yourself in a position to be molded and impressed by God? I hope we are. All of us can work on being humble. Because when we're humble, God can work with us. Well, Brother Mike, I'm already humble. Well, then you can be humbler. You can be humbler than what you are, okay? Because if you can do that, God can really use you in a mighty way. But if you want to be prideful, He can't use you. And one thing about the devil, and it's unfortunate, that you can be arrogant and think that God is using you, but He's not. God uses the humble. Why? Because He wants to be glorified. Well, Brother Mike, what about how God used Pharaoh? God was glorified, but it wasn't because of Pharaoh. God was glorified because He was able to show teachings in a man that was arrogant, and you don't want to be like that. Let's have a word of prayer, and I'll offer the invitation. Our God and our Father in heaven, you are great. You are magnificent. You're awesome. And for that, we're thankful. Your Son is amazing. His thoughts, how he lived, help us to imitate him. We're thankful for the impression that he has made upon us through your Spirit, through your Word, through one another. We pray to Father that we'll rid distractions and destructive behaviors and thought processes through thankfulness, through your Word, through obedience. We ask, dear Father, that you continue to be with the Ninth and Main congregation. Help us. Help us to be humble. Help us to metaphorically go through the spiritual press and allow you to mold us and make us, that you may receive glory and honor and that our lives may be the better. Father, we pray that we can go out with the gospel and help those who don't know Jesus Christ for the pardoning of their sin to humble themselves and not hold on to denominational thinking and doctrines, but to just give over their lives to your Son, Jesus Christ, through repentance and baptism because of the great gospel message of Jesus Christ. Father, if they do that, we know that through perseverance and persecution and suffering and overcoming those things, they'll be successful and they'll hear those words, well done, and ultimately, Father, see your face in peace. We love you, Father. We're thankful to you and for you. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to consider. As a matter of fact, we're begging you, just think about it. There's a day coming. It's a day of wrath. Jesus Christ is going to come back with his mighty angels in flaming fire, and he's going to take vengeance on those that don't know him and haven't obeyed the gospel. Believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. Be willing to repent of sins. Confess Christ to be Lord. Be buried in water for the remission of sins. Brother Mike, I've been baptized before. But were you baptized correctly? Did you have the knowledge of the gospel and the kingdom of God, which is the church of Christ? Did you have that knowledge? If not, consider. Don't hold on to something that you know or that you think is right. We want to know what's right. Maybe you're a child of God and you haven't been humbling yourself. Well, I just want God to mold this area of my life. I can handle the rest. No, it must be full submission. Just like when one is baptized into Christ, you can't have a finger up. It has to be full immersion. And when one is immersed, then one is covered. When we humble ourselves wholly to God, then the impression will be holy. Why? Because the seal is departing from iniquity, which means God wants us to be just like him, and that is holy in all manner of lifestyle. As we stand and as we sing our Savior's invitation.